I'm not that desperate.
Okay. Hello. 1 minute, 13 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of whatever the hell this is. February, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. And welcome to day 12, my friends. It is Monday.
Glad you're there.
All right. That's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'd like to thank the people from the gymnasium, by the way, for coming in, even though they were both deathly ill on their deathbed and hacking up large chunks of phlegm with every syllable that left their mouths. God love them. God love them. Not so much on your microphone as on mine. Because that's it. We were talking about this. There's a Tim and Sarah on this program, and then the Timnasium has a Tim and Sarah. And then there's actually also, in addition to Tim Riley, there is a Tim Ryan. There's a Tim Ryan who does news that you may hear during the afternoon or the evening. He does this this news called 70 Seconds You'll Never Get Back.
I almost opened up. My pot is too high. Is
that was really unpleasantly loud.
I'm sorry.
All right. I apologize to everyone.
Okay. Well, I almost mistakenly opened up his W-2 form the other day because Scott had handed it to me.
And I'm thinking, dude, I get his every 15 days. I get his time card. I get his paycheck. It all comes right into my butt because they all think it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I patiently explained for the last year. It's going to be a year next month. That Tim Ryan is not Tim Riley. And it doesn't really matter. It's just, the brains of Tesla. I say that stuff and it slides right out of their heads and they send it to me again. So there you go. Yeah, there's the opportunity to examine all kinds of things in radio you probably shouldn't. Anyway, so Sarah Wagner, God bless her, who does the gymnasium, she came in on... And the thing is, you can't really complain about it, right? It is because it's that thing that we're always beating and everybody says, you got to be here. Doesn't matter if you're sick. Doesn't matter if you're hungover. You got to come into work. And so then on Saturday, Tim and Sarah show up to do the gymnasium, and Sarah just looked like... She was just the color of butter. I mean, just as jaundiced as you could possibly, just, like she had yellow fever. And then I come and she's sitting behind the microphone and says, I'm here.
So I know how she feels. Believe me.
That's what I'm saying. She was that Tim Riley strength is what she summoned up. All right, it's Monday. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. The phone number is 503-733-2970. You can email. It's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. All right. An exciting program to get you today, which I say all the time, and it really is true today because we have a man dressed as a large aardvark coming into the studio.
He's going to hug you.
I'm not entirely sure that he's an aardvark. I don't really know what animal he dresses as. What's his name? Do we remember? It's not Dan. Dan is the one in New Zealand.
What does an aardvark look like?
I don't really know, now that you mention it. Now that you mention it, I don't really know what an aardvark looks
like. An imposter could come through the door, and you could be duped any moment if you don't know what it looks like.
An aardvark is just like that guy from Sha Na Na, Bowser. I have no idea what he looks like.
How many with that long-forgotten aardvark costume under their bed right now is putting it on?
An aardvark is like something that's broasted. I had somebody the other day saying,
I thought
an
aardvark looked kind of like Elf.
I thought an aardvark looked like an anteater, but maybe that's because they both start with A. What is broasted chicken?
I've never heard of that word.
You never see that? You never see that around town? Come in and try a broasted chicken.
It's a new way to torture God's creatures.
It's where you smash
There'll
their
be
tiny...
plenty of payback.
It's where you smash their tiny feet with a hammer before you cook them. That's the broasting. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open an extra cruelty restaurant. I'm going to open a cruelty on the side restaurant where we verbally abuse the chickens before they're killed.
Are you making up that word?
Broasted. You've seen that word.
Have you seen that word?
He doesn't see. He doesn't go to places where they would.
No.
He doesn't go to any place where they would have that because it's a meat eating thing. It's a, you'll have a.
I did see a man dressed up as a pizza slice though the other day.
You want to stop and just give those guys that like booze. Just stop and just give them a small pint. Just give them a little flask to carry around throughout their day. Hello, sir. How is it that this fortune befell you? There are places that advertise that they serve, quote, broasted chicken. I'm not making it up. I've seen it in numerous places. I don't know if that's like a broiled and roasted kind of a thing.
Because doing one thing just isn't enough to the poor chicken.
That's what I'm saying. I want to have some sort of a restaurant where the chickens are verbally abused before they're killed. and then they're punched repeatedly in the beak before being cooked. I'd like extra cruelty with my chicken, please. It's 503-733-2970. You know, do you ever see bumper stickers like this? And it's like, you find that you just want to tweak them somehow and make them nonsensical and put them on your own car. Like, have you seen that keep your laws off my body sticker?
No, but you're obsessed with that sticker.
Because
it up to me many times.
Here's why. Because I guess it's like a NARAL thing. It's like a Roe v. Wade. It's like an abortion deal to keep your laws off my body. And I just want to change it. I want one in my own car that says, keep your lawn off my body. Just to screw with people, because it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Keep your lawn off my body. Another one? Keep abortion frequent. That'd screw with people.
Oh, that'd make people happy.
That'd mess with people's heads. What does that even mean? I mean, I guess I know what it means, but why would you even have that? Doesn't make any sense. Look at that guy. Just keep abortion frequent. That'd get you some looks on the freeway. All right. To me, I'm just saying, I see bumper stickers and I immediately, it's like that one can be.
There are the weirdest bumper stickers in Southeast, too.
Because, and you know where that one comes from, it's because, it's just the taking of something that people don't even see anymore because it's so frequent. Like, those slogans have failed to, they fail to mean anything anymore. We become so numb to them. You have to kind of change them for people to even register them. Do you remember for a long time there was the visualized world peace? And then somebody changed it.
Visualize world peace.
World peace.
That's
great.
Funny.
What does it even mean? Nothing. Just there to F with people. Keep your lawn off my body. I hate bumper stickers anyway. Here's somebody who's calling about roasted chicken. We'll get to that. Anyway, what was my point? I don't know. So Sarah Wagner was here coughing up phlegm into the microphone. And God bless him, Jeff McGinley moved her to this other microphone over here. So now it's the guests who are going to get sick. Not me, Rick Emerson. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. The furry. So here's the thing.
Before his name is James, by the way.
His name is James. All right. So
I don't know if he wants to be known by his real name, though.
He called in. He called it on the air, didn't he?
I think, yeah, I couldn't remember if he said his name or not.
Here's what happened. We'll take these phone calls. We'll do the guarantees. We'll talk to Tim here in a second. But this is the backstory. So the deal is we have these DVDs to give away.
I dropped my pen. Hold on.
All right, so much for not getting distracted. We have these DVDs to give away of Farce of the Penguins, which is it's some Bob Saget thing that's all about penguin sex. I swear to Christ. Anyway, so this guy calls up, and he's like, you know, I'll come in and, you know, wear my fursuit for that. And a fursuit isn't like a birthday suit. A fursuit is like, I put a little link on my site to it. A fursuit is like one of those, you know, it's one of those guys. It's like a role, like a live-action role-playing thing, but they're all into dressing up as animals, and I think having the sex that way, I believe. I think that's how that works. Anyway, I don't want to say an astonishing number because then it implies that they're some sort of freakish minority. But there do seem to be a large number of furries in the Rick Emerson audience. Dan, I don't know if I say this. Well, Dan in New Zealand. So that guy's a furry.
Or maybe you didn't. Maybe that was an offer.
Well, too late now. Time to call mom. Time to call mom and dad before the broadcast reaches them. It's just all very, very bizarre. And then there's a lot of those people who listen to this show, a lot of the furries and the plushy types. So which is fine. You know, it's all part of life's rich pageant. It's just another stripe on the rainbow flag in my world. Doesn't matter. I don't care. So, but I don't think we've ever actually, met a furry, like, in the full furry outfit. So that's going to change today at 2 o'clock when, what's his name, James? James the furry will be coming in today. I don't think he clarified what his costume is, though. I think Dan in New Zealand. Dan in New Zealand, his costume is like a chipmunk, I think. I'm not sure what James's costume is.
James says he has a few costumes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're expensive, though. They can't be cheap. Anyway, so I got all kinds of questions about that anyway. The whole thing is just puzzling to me. So we'll ask those questions in a tactful and non-exploitative fashion later on. So that's going to be happening in the 2 o'clock hour today. Let's get these calls, then I'll do some guaranteeing. Let's see, Jeff here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, honk if you have a horn.
that's funny.
Chicken is where they've got the broiler on at the same time they got the oven on, such as if you go to your local grocery store there, and they've got the chicken there, it'll be hot at 4 p.m., otherwise it's free. That's roasted.
Okay, so but what?
It's where they have the oven itself on, and then also the broiler.
And the purpose of that is what?
It's so you first off are baking it, but then the broiler function is so that it gives it like the cooked outer shell, the skin there. You know how it's kind of it's browned.
Tim, is this making you hungry?
You know, when you make, garlic bread in the oven and you turn the broiler on...
Right.
...to toast the bread...
Yes.
...but then if you just put it in the oven when the oven's on, then it just heats it up.
Ah, so I see.
That would be,
okay.
You're baking it and, you know...
All right, so there you go. So, and
roasting and other...
It is a real term. All right,
it
fantastic.
Is, yes.
Thank
it's
you.
Something that's been made by the sushi industry while they're selling their moisturizers.
No, but the difference is this is an actual real thing. This isn't made up.
This is their technique of broasted chicken, if you will.
Okay.
Maybe your furry guy will come as an artwork.
Maybe. All right, thank you, sir. There you go. That's Jeff about broasting. All right, I'm going to have to be... This is a little tricky because, let's see.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Come on, you're going to get him in trouble.
I don't have the other one yet.
Yes,
I can't find... I don't know where it went. I don't know where the other... I did my best to mask it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, Mailman Chris. I did my best there. I'm trying to find the other Mailman theme. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Hi. What's up with you, brother?
Hey, I got a day off today, so I thought I'd stenographize this morning.
Stenographize. Oh, wait. Here we go. Wait, hold on. Here we go. Mailman 2. Wait. Okay, there we go. Okay, I've got it. Okay, I've changed the Mailman sounder, so it no longer has machine gun fire. You happy?
And you deleted the other one, right?
Bunch of jackals. Yeah, sure. Anywho, hey, what's up with you, brother?
Oh, not much.
All
not
right.
much. Hey, I just sent you an email because I found somebody in my neighborhood who has high speed. Has high speed internet.
Okay.
And so I can use that with my wireless laptop.
Uh huh.
You know, I think. So, I just sent you an email to your Yahoo account.
Yes.
With both a picture of an aardvark and Bowser from Sha Na Na.
Fantastic. So now I can no longer claim I don't know what they look like.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well done. All right. Here's what we got today. So the James the Furry is coming into the 2 o'clock hour. We will talk to the Oregonian's Peter Carlin in the 1 p.m. hour around 1:30 or so. Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. That's going to be 12:30. We will talk about Prince and his gigantic penis-like guitar.
That was so awesome.
Which was fantastic. And you know that was just a big FU to the FCC.
Yeah.
It was just a big look at my schlong.
Is that not one of the best halftime shows you've ever seen?
It was fantastic.
It
really was. The Prince halftime show was great.
He could stab someone with that guitar.
No, it was great. It was really, really good.
It's completely soaking wet, and you know that he can't be happy that his makeup and his hair is getting all wet, and he just like rips off his bandana like it's no big deal.
Totally. No, he's a rock star. He
amazing.
Just makes it work. Yeah, no, he sold it. He really did.
Well, he's getting paid like $10 million to be there. Right? You think he can get a little wet?
Yeah, but he's an ass a lot of the time. Like, you know that guy's just a dick. And which I say, I mean, I love Prince. I really do. And I respect him and so forth. But you hear any of the stories about that guy. Like Kevin Smith, on an evening with Kevin Smith, he tells that story about how Prince wanted him to do a documentary about life at Paisley Park. And it's just like this long, long, rambling Kevin Smith story. But it just really just does depict Prince as just being an ass in many ways. Like a lot of really gifted, talented people. But I was glad to see that he pulled it together and he put on a good show for the people. Let's see the way Scotty J today. A very special top five. Today we will be having Scotty J's top five songs to get down and make sweet love to. That's from the mind of Scotty J. The top five Scotty J songs to get down and make sweet love to. What else? And I think that's pretty. I think that's pretty much it. I don't want to tease anything beyond that. No, Lisa Goddard will be here, and we'll talk to Jim Roop as well. That's it. That's all we're going to tease today.
Peter Carlin, James the Furry, Clyde. Talk about Prince, Scotty Top 5, Lisa, and Jim Roop.
That is what I'm talking about, my friend.
Excellent.
All right, and we will, yes?
Well, we're at zero to remind everyone, because you did your 10 push-ups on Friday.
Damn straight. And we'll check in with you at the end of the program to see where the chips fall.
Will do.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Thank you, Dale Paxton.
Thank you.
Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Excellent. Where'd you watch the Super Bowl at?
I went over to my friend Dave's house. He had a party over there.
Fantastic. Was that David, the map maker David?
No.
Different David.
A different David.
There's so many Daves. I did the same thing I always do. I T-voted it, and then I watched the whole thing in like 12 minutes, which now you
don't
even...
That's what I figured you were out watching a movie or something.
Totally. Well, and like, you don't even need to do that anymore because YouTube has it all. Like, it's all on the net the next day. I realize now, by the way, the shrewdness of that Kevin Federline thing, because I was like, well, why would they put it online? No, because I skipped over. I'm like, I already saw it.
It was great to see it on TV, though.
Really? Maybe I'll go back and
watch it. Yeah, it was with a bunch of people who hadn't seen it yet, and I'm like, oh, this is the best thing ever. What's the fucking...
It really was pretty great. But now I realize, because last week I was all perplexed. Well, why would they put it on the internet? Don't they want everybody to watch it? But I realized that there's so much hype around the ads that are on TV that was the only way that they could differentiate themselves. By the way, I'd like to note that I have this open door policy about the Vizo in the refrigerator here in the studio.
Please stop drinking it.
That's Sarah Dillon saying that.
That's me saying it.
I'm making this observation.
You're taking advantage of Rick's kindness.
On Friday, the Vizo refrigerator in the studio was powered up on Friday, and I swear to God, I put three cases in there. I put three cases. There are now eight bottles left. So, I'm just saying. That's all. I mean, I don't want to deny anybody the refreshing. By the way, where is it that I found Vizo last night? At the Daily Grind? Is that place on Hawthorne? By the liquor store? It's like that place that's run by the Seventh-day Adventists.
I don't know, upper or lower?
On the Daily Grind, it's past 39th, it's like 41st. Well, whatever.
Okay.
Anyways, 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, yes?
Oh, no, I was also going to say, I'm in pain. I went to the movies last night, then, and I went to the Baghdad for a movie.
To what?
With that Borat.
Yeah.
Because it's like a, you know,
right.
It's just as uncomfortable.
Did you go to the Fat Boys thing?
I did not.
Separate? Oh, man, the Fight Club showing on Friday. I was gonna, God bless them, I really was gonna go, but the Fight Club was on the big screen at the Baghdad on Friday. Court and Fatboy were doing that, I shouldn't tell this story.
Oh, you totally should.
You have to now. That's the thing, is I have to now. They were trying to get, well, they mentioned it on Friday, but they were trying to get Chuck Palahniuk to come there and, like, to come and, like, hang out and, like, hi, I'm Chuck Palahniuk, worship me, you know, or whatever, and, you know, and that guy is... Not to knock him, because everybody's got their own deal. But, you know, he's aware of his own. He is aware that one of his commodities is his mystique. And so he's not going to show up at some, like, radio station thing. And I swear to God, they tried to get him there with, like, a keychain and a KUFO t-shirt. It was like, Chuck, if you come out, we'll give you this KUFO t-shirt and a beer cozy.
It made me wonder if they'd ever read any of his books.
Oh, and it wasn't even him. It was like his people that... no. And the phone hung up.
Oh, but you got to... Court and Fatboy, you got to admire him for their
support. I know. They tried.
He was... Fatboy was genuinely convinced that they were going to get Chuck Palahniuk.
Well, yeah, that's because he's never worked in radio before. This is his first radio gig. He'll learn.
They don't have a Scotty J.
No, they don't. But Fight Club was on the big screen at 11. I drove by it at 8 o'clock, and the line was already around the block.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, F that. No, thank you, no.
I went to the Baghdad, and I found out just how dark it is on the balcony.
Oh, yeah.
Fell.
From the balcony? You fell from the balcony?
No, not from the balcony. Oh. I fell down the stairs. I totally slammed my hip. Like, I was walking at that first part of the balcony, those four stairs. I didn't see the last one. Completely slipped. Landing, like, smashed my hand on the rail and hit my hip on the chair.
If you want to,
and we got it. We got there like a couple minutes late because the movie had already started.
And everybody got to see you. Everybody's like, look at the girl.
Yeah. I'm going to try the back stair with the Clinton Street Theater. Now that.
Oh, man, that is a challenge. The Clinton Street Theater, I think that they've redone it since then. But there was a time when the Clinton Street Theater, like around the first Bigger Than Jesus era.
It was a delightful fire trap.
It should have been condemned. You're right.
It had a charm all its own.
A big metal door should have been put over that place and it should have been closed to the public. That place was as a death trap. You're absolutely right about
Which
that.
Which bare wire should I grab onto?
Totally. And one of those places where it just seems like it's about 180 degrees and the sole ventilation is coming from a Kmart box fan.
Oh, my God. During Bigger Than Jesus sitting and watching that, everyone's melting.
Yeah, remember that.
That's never been released to the public because it was terrible, but if you go back and watch the footage, the original footage of the original Bigger Than Jesus.
Bigger Than Jesus, hotter than hell.
Yes. Well done. The Bigger Than Jesus performance at the Clinton Street, the original performance of it. You go back and watch the footage, and I now do sound like one of those movie guys.
But we sat through it.
We're like, it's in the vault. No one will ever see it,
yeah,
but it's in the vault.
You never said that Tim and I aren't good to you. We both sat there in like 100-degree weather.
God love you. I appreciate it, because
it's not hot in here.
Joni and I sat and watched the footage, which is beautiful in many ways, because it was well shot, but can never be released to the public, because it's just, because I'm sweating, and just, it's terrible. And you look out into the audience, and there's no air conditioning, and it's just a sea of programs waving as people are trying to fan themselves. Anyway, we're so behind. Here's Tim Riley working on the following stories for your edification today.
Who wants to see Ralph Nader run for president again?
Me.
Show of hands, please. 100 dinosaur eggs are found. Jesus is starting to put me back together, claims the disgraced pastor Ted Haddred. And how about those cult sports fans? We're going to play some clips from Prince and some of the commercials, too.
Fantastic. All right, there you go. There's all that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I did not injure myself this weekend, but you and I, you noted that, if you look over to my right, and you can't see this, but figuratively speaking, if you were to look to my right, you see Sarah Dillon's bicycle, which is in the studio.
Yeah.
With us. There is no bike rack, apparently, because...
Well, I just don't really feel comfortable. There are a couple things you can chain it up to outside, but...
Well, there's a bike rack. There's one bike rack left out back, but they're getting rid of it for reasons unknown. I'm not even really sure why. Jeff just told me they have a bike rack, but it's going to be going away. But apparently you can't. Oh, here's why. I do remember why, actually. Because we're down here at First Avenue down in our studios. There is one bike rack, one of those weird bendy wire, those bendy tube kinds. And he told me that they're getting the bike rack gotten rid of, but they're going to try to put something indoors, because apparently what happens is people will chain up their bikes out back and the bike frame will stay there, but they'll come back and like your wheels are missing.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm definitely not leaving it up there.
And it's like, yeah, people come out like the tires are gone,
yeah,
the lights are gone.
It's kind of sketchy. I mean, you remember when we worked at Fisher and it was just all like crazies and homeless people sleeping outside.
You don't want to know. Well, you don't want to know how many times they've apparently got homeless people humping it out in the parking lot back here. That's what he told me. You've heard of bum fights? This is sort of bum F's. Ding.
Oh,
so, yeah, so Sarah's bicycle is in the studio, and which is, I just hear your wrist snap.
It
oh,
really
that's no
hurts.
Good. Oh, man. Well, you don't... This is... And
my pride hurts first.
And for the first... And anytime you have a hip injury, don't you feel old? My hip! And it's like suddenly you picture your grandmother's hips disintegrating as she's trying to walk to a grandma's buffet somewhere. She's trying to go back for a third round of Jell-O and one of her femurs just snaps like a dry twig. But yesterday was actually the first day since whenever I quit bicycling. When was that? Like September, October, something like that? Whenever it started to get chilly and I was like, screw this. And I just became a sissy. And so I bicycled for the first time yesterday. And of course, because I'm a macho jerk, I can't just bicycle a little bit. Me, I gotta go to the top of Mount Tabor. And so I bicycled all the way to the top of Mount Tabor and back to my house yesterday. And I woke up this morning and I did the thing where I swung my feet over to the side of the bed, you know, just, well, there's the alarm. Try to get up and face the day. Swing the arms, you know, my legs over the side of the bed, put my feet on the floor, throw myself out of bed, and my ankles completely failed to support my weight, and I just fell onto the ground as though I had no bones.
That's restless leg syndrome.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, I think it happens to me after the dog sits on my knee for a while. I get up and I just fall on my face because one of my legs has not been active for a long time because the dog has been sitting on it.
That's not restless leg syndrome.
That is restless leg syndrome. I saw it on cable.
I believe Tim. Tim sounds very definitive.
It was one of those things I didn't fast forward past. I've seen it a dozen times.
If it's happening because your leg isn't moving, how can it be restless leg syndrome?
Because it doesn't affect both legs. Only one. Like, you lose feeling in one leg. And then you stand up and you fall over like a deck of cards.
That was me this morning. I just swung my feet over the side of the bed. I shoved myself out of bed. And my knees just buckled. And it's just sort of a boom, boom, boom. You know, like an accordion.
Wait till you turn 37.
Yes. Wait until that. Wait until that time in 2017. Anyway, so that's no good. There's a bad scene, man. It's a bad scene. And I don't even... And then I.
It, this happened this morning?
No, it was... Well, because I bicycled yesterday. And so I get out of bed. Yeah, and it was like... I was like one of those toys where it's the little mannequin who stands up and then you push the button on the bottom and he collapses, like, with all the strings. That was me this morning getting out of bed. My wife, are you okay, me? I'm fine. You know, don't stand. You know, so...
Yeah, we've got to start the whole exercising thing again.
Well, because I did that and I had to move all this crap this weekend because I was finalizing the move into my new office from the coin building to here. And so all weekend I'm like carrying these boxes, which are just full of like radio, like staplers, you know, and like some plastic skull that a listener gave me at one point. Stuff that really shouldn't tire you out. Me. You know, just moving all of my crap. And then that thing happened. God damn it. Don't you hate this when it happens? I'm moving the Horns Across the Hawthorne photo, which hangs in my office, which is like the one in the studio here, which is a really, really beautiful photograph. Jason Crump took that. I have in my office a duplicate here in the studio with this big Horns Across the Hawthorne framed photograph, which is just beautiful. And I have a duplicate of that in my office. It was at the Coin Tower. It was up there for like a year, you know? No problems, no worries. I carefully take it down. I load it in the truck. I bring it all the way over here. I bring it in the back lot. I take it up the stairs, walk down the hallway, turn the corner. I am literally 5 feet from the wall. I walk into my office. I turn sharp. I hit it against the door frame. Glass shatters.
Oh, man.
The glass just shatters. The glass just shatters and falls everywhere.
And you almost made it.
I almost made it. Matt and I had to move all of Dennis's stuff out.
Oh, where has
well,
he moved?
That's Dennis Pitzenbarger. Well, that was Dennis Pitzenbarger's office.
Where did he move to?
Somewhere else. Doesn't matter. I got an office now.
There's plenty of room over on 3rd.
The best part is that he's in Maui. So,
awkward.
It's not awkward for me. I got a place to put my stuff.
Okay, you don't need to be so mean.
Rick Emerson got to eat.
Okay.
I think he knows, by the way. I think they told him.
He had said something. That's why I think he was a little angry whenever he came in last week. He said that he thought when he goes to Maui, his stuff's going to be moved.
Yeah, no, he was correct about that assessment. His stuff has been moved to the basement somewhere. It doesn't matter to me.
This is your friend you're talking about. You're the evil man.
He's lying in a hammock now, drinking a drink with an umbrella.
He's a salesperson. He should be out selling. He didn't make it off.
That is true.
What is he sitting here for?
It's true.
He ought to be up pounding the pavement. Old calling.
They just need a copy of the Yellow Pages and a calendar.
That's what I'm saying. Shoe leather, Dennis. That's how you make. That's how you make your living.
Old fashioned shoe leather.
So the best part is this, but and then we got
to
break.
And you've got to guarantee what happened after the Rick Emerson show on Friday.
Oh God, there's so much to get to. Well, here's what we'll do. I'll tell this one final thing, and then we'll break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard, and maybe we'll have Tim rejoin us at 11:45 because we have to. We'll talk more. We'll try to get ahead of some news because otherwise we're going to end up terribly news deficient today. But I will say this. So it's like a game of musical chairs because real estate, as they often say, is a valuable commodity in this building.
It is.
Here at CBS Radio Portland. And so the Rick Emerson Show, we recently moved here from the Coin Tower. And it really is, it's basically like there's, 10 people in 9 offices. That's basically how it is. So somebody got to go. As George Thorogood said, it doesn't matter to me.
As long as I get my rent next Thursday.
So they just told me, they're like, you're going to go and do... You're going to move into Dennis Pitzenbarger's office. And I said, when? And they said, well, he's in Maui. So that works out well. So Dennis
is... Did you have to help take the stuff out of the office?
Dennis is... Oh, I moved it. No, I went in...
Where did you put it?
In the basement. I found a dark corner in the basement that no one had done anything with in a long time. So all of Dennis's stuff...
It's a bomb shelter built during the Cold War.
Yes, all of Dennis's stuff is in boxes in the basement. All of my stuff is now in Dennis's office, or should I say, Rick Emerson's office. The only things I didn't move... And how depressing is this? Outside the door was a thing that said Dennis Pitzenbarger, like labeling the office. I'm like, well, that's going to come down. And I reached to pull it off, and it's just attached with Velcro. And I looked, and all of the offices are that way. All of the name tags, or the name plates outside all the offices are attached with Velcro because it's just known that at any given point they'll be firing or letting, two or three people a day. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. We haven't even talked about Art Alexakis yet.
Oh boy.
We'll come back. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard.
That was my story of the weekend.
Oh, the most awkward thing ever. So we'll come back. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard, and then we'll tell the most awkward Everclear story ever. That's coming up later on. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Hello there, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is a final note on the office business. Well, never mind. I'm just saying, that's where they told me to move. Who am I to question CBS management?
You sound so giddy about it. That's mean. Well, you've known Dennis for years.
Rick Emerson don't want to walk. It's 503.
I would think Dennis would do that to you, too.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, I mean, if I had an office and I was out of town and they told Dennis to move into my, he would be like, well, I don't know. I figured they had a plan. So I'm not going to feel guilty about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time once again. It's Lisa Goddard from the Hill, singing on radio. I don't even know what I'm doing now. Now I'm all.
I thought that was your. big intro, the paper reference.
I'm all selling him for Clint. Lisa got it. Hello, sister. How you doing?
Hello. How you doing, brother?
I am I'm rolling along, doing what I do flawlessly and without effort, as I do on all days.
Wow. That's pretty nice.
Well, it's not really accurate, strictly speaking, but between you and me, we'll just keep that a secret. Hey, did you watch the big game, as we're legally obligated to refer to it?
Of course I did, and spinach was involved. I told all my friends that I lost points for pizza in our last conversation. But there was some serious, like, chicken nuggets and nacho dip. Yeah, it was a good game. I enjoyed it.
Here's my thing about spinach on pizza. I'm just saying, if you want to have a salad, have a salad. If you want to have a pizza, have a pizza. Never the twain shall meet, in my opinion.
But that type of thinking, we would have never had a salad. They would have been like, if you want lettuce, have lettuce. Well, don't mix it with carrots.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a world without salad would be fine with me. That's all I'm just saying, it does seem like there are certain things that should not be gourmet. And anytime you start to add things, it's like...
I hear you on that. That's probably true on the pizza. I hear you on that. I get that.
In Portland, I mean, we have a lot of fantastic pizza in Portland, but I don't know how it is where you are. But there's a lot of people that decide that they want to start serving a pizza that has pesto sauce and eggplant, and there's just something wrong with that. because it becomes something less than pizza and something more like something... It makes pizza eating into something you do to be polite.
Perhaps there is a pizza quiche continuum.
That's what I'm talking about right there. See,
that's what's going on.
It puts it dangerously... It doesn't make it a quiche, but it puts it on the highway to quichedom.
And that's in that direction, right?
That's nothing you want. All right. Well, in any event, let me just ask you this right now. If you had to rank your three preferred... how do I put this? Your three preferred Super Bowl-type foods. In other words, you're sitting around, you've got your friends, you're watching a movie, a game, you're going to eat something that is satisfying but not really good for you. What are those three foods?
Like I said, pizza. I got to have some kind of chips, something crunchy like that. And I like the wings.
Wings, excellent, fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, your toe board continues to go up with the Rick Emerson audience.
Thank God.
All right, there are certain things I just don't understand because I'm not all that bright. And I know that last year you did this whole piece on CNN about making the deficit sexy or whatever. That,
yes,
something
the
like
deficit
that.
Is sexy, yes.
I'm not disputing that that's the case. I'm just saying it doesn't really make it easily understandable to folks like me. And here's why I bring that up.
Yes.
Because today... It's what? It's the budget gets delivered to Congress today, right? Or has been delivered?
It's the president's proposed budget. This is how he wants Congress to spend everybody's money.
And so is this sort of like when I'm trying to buy like knockoff Pokemon merchandise in Tijuana, where he delivers a budget and they say no, and then he comes back and then they say no again and they meet somewhere in the middle? Or, I mean, could they theoretically just say, just keep saying no until he cuts out everything they don't want?
They theoretically could just use it, to fuel their fireplaces if they wanted to.
Fantastic.
But, I mean, the only trick is that since the president oversees all the cabinet agencies, and that is most of government spending, those cabinet agencies, he in theory has a better idea of what they need and what's going on in those agencies. So if Congress dismissed his budget out of hand, it might make them look a little irresponsible.
Well, and we know, by the way, that it is only in theory that he has a better idea of what these agencies need.
Well,
it's a thing that I think a lot of Americans don't understand is, and I'll recite this off the page so I don't get it wrong here, where it says his $2.9 trillion. First of all, just to start at the rock bottom layer, a trillion is 1,000 billion.
A trillion is 1,000. It's a million million.
Or
1,000 billion. Yes.
It just doesn't even make any sense. At a certain point, it all starts to sound like squillion. You know what I mean?
Yes,
just things that I can't even fathom.
Right.
The plan includes billions with a B for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and tries to restrain the cost of government's health care programs. I guess what I don't understand is, assuming that, like, we don't have the money for any of this anyway, like, who cares? You know what I mean? It's like if we're $1 trillion in debt, if we're $5 trillion in debt, at a certain point, like, I can tell you that. I won't use her name, but I have a friend of mine. This is a true story. I have a friend of mine who, right now, she and her husband are something like $64,000 in debt on their credit cards.
Okay.
I don't even know, and I don't think either of them went to college. I don't know how much rent-to-own furniture you could possibly get I don't know how much it takes to become $64,000 in debt when you really don't own anything. I mean, their entire house looks like a Goodwill exploded all over them. So I don't really know where the money went. But of course, the thing is, they just continue to rack up debt because it doesn't matter. They're already 64K in the hole, so who cares?
Right.
So is there any impetus or any motivation to try to keep this budget in check at all?
Well, there is increasing press. I can't talk. There is a lot of pressure just from the general public. I think in the last election, Democrats are getting that the Ross Perot factor is creeping up again, that people are mad that Social Security is in jeopardy, that Medicare is in jeopardy, and that even if the people who are using Social Security and Medicare now may not be affected, people our age and younger and older, you know, right, people who are, you know, between 20 and 60, you know, are really in trouble if they are counting on Social Security and Medicare. And so that's just those programs that we need to deal with because the bill is running up and we're not coming up with as much to spend into it. But then at the same time, separately, we're racking up the nation's credit cards, and that hurts a lot of things. That ultimately could affect interest rates. That could affect the national economy in general. And in fact, big economists who use lots of big words point to the national debt and to the deficit as things that down the road could lead to a recession and, you know, loss of jobs and very real things. So Congress is getting it that the American public is kind of fed up with this, the way they've been spending lately. But the trick is the White House in this budget, they proposed that it would the budget would be balanced by 2012. But Democrats are very quickly pointing out that this budget is a lot of mathematical
hooey.
Yeah, it's a little fudge the edges, some of it. But to balance the budget, they didn't include some costs after, say, 2008 that we expect to have. But they just didn't put that in this budget.
Haven't they tried several times just to make it the law that the budget has to be balanced? Didn't they try to get a constitutional amendment?
That's right. They did. They tried to get a constitutional amendment, and they couldn't get it through Congress. But now, Congress right now, the House is operating under what's called PAYGO rules, which you got to have a little snappy phrase for everything. But the PAYGO rule means that if you're going to add any new spending anywhere in federal government, Congress has to find that money from somewhere. You can't just, what Congress has been doing is just putting it on the credit card, just racking up the deficit. And so now they're saying, no more of that. So, I mean, that sounds good, but the truth is our problem is so much greater than that. You know, that's great if we can balance the budget, but years of having unbalanced budgets has led to that, as you said, trillions of dollars in debt that's just sitting there. You know, we can deal with it, but we've got to get started. I think it ends up being something like $33,000 of debt for each person in America that our government has.
Don't you think it'd be immensely satisfying if we had some kind of, this is one of the, Roop and I always talk about the impending coup that's going to happen in this country in which I will be installed as the grand irremovable dictator.
Yes, fantastic.
And one of the things that I'm going to do when I'm running this country is I'm going to launch a reality program wherein some members of Congress have to go and they have to live in the average American home and they have to balance the goddamn checkbook and they have to be able to live within their means. I can't think of anything more satisfying than taking some guys from Congress and having them, you know, and giving them some $27,000 a year job and telling them that they can't be in debt at the end of the year.
Well, what's amazing, even right now, moving from the budget to the Iraq debate, you know, the plan was to start the Iraq debate in the Senate today, have kind of an initial test vote later today, and the fact is that it's kind of the same old school politics that is blocking everything up. Republicans want to vote on their specific ideas. Democrats say, no, we don't exactly want to vote the way you guys want to vote. We want to vote this way on these ideas. And because of that disagreement over procedure and what they're going to vote on and how, the whole thing is frozen right now. Everyone pointing fingers at each other. You know, I just asked one of the senators, I said, don't you think that across America right now people are taking their remote controls and turning off for Congress? I feel like you all had a window where people were paying attention to what you were doing and the way you're handling the Iraq debate. Are you worried that Americans are just going to write you off again?
Well, that's what they want, though. That's what they want us to.
Well, that's what the Republicans want. That's what the Republicans want. They want the Democrats to look like they can't get anything done. And in fact, when it comes to Iraq, they are really running into a tough time when it comes to the Senate.
You know what it is? They're like a bunch of super-powered, evil, autistic children. That's what they are. They're like they really are. They're like angry, autistic children with the strength of 1,000 men. Just as a side note here, you're talking about trying to restrain the cost of government's health care. I know that.
Yes.
Obama, of course, made some waves when he was saying that within 6 years, you know, there ought to be national health care. Is Hillary Clinton going to let that go unchallenged? Because that's kind of her ground that he's trying to stake out there.
Yeah, there is no way that she is going to let Obama be the only one with a huge health care plan. And in fact, Hillary Clinton is now going to be third in line if she comes out with a plan right away, because John Edwards has announced now that he has a plan for universal health coverage as well. So there's no way that Hillary Clinton's team is going to let other people own that issue, but I think they're playing it smart. They want a plan that has, you know, three legs to the stool. I think her last attempt was so criticized that I think they're not going to rush in like these other guys. These other guys need to boost their name recognition. They need to get more attention. Hillary Clinton doesn't really need that on health care. Obama's got to prove that he has ideas, not just that he's, you know, a spectacular speaker and, you know, everyone likes him. He's got to prove his credibility. But Hillary Clinton, she's got to worry about not giving people means to attack her. So she's being careful.
Do you find that John Edwards has a head that looks unnaturally large for his body?
Yeah, I think there is something to that.
He kind of looks like a Fisher Price man. I mean, if you sort of like squint your eyes a little bit.
It's worked for him, though. You know, they say that we are drawn to people that have larger eyes because they remind us of babies.
Large eyes and symmetrical faces.
Yes, because we want to protect babies, apparently.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. As always, a pleasure. We will talk to you soon. Have a great Washington afternoon, Lisa.
And you, too.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. God love her. All right, there you go. It's John Edwards' head. It's one of those things you don't really realize until you catch him, like, in the right light on television. His head is massive. He looks like a living bobblehead in many ways. All right, there you go. Hello, it's 503-733-2970. Later on, let's bring Scotty Jane here and find out exactly how hungover he is today, because I'm suspecting the answer to that is massively hungover.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's doing too well.
About 13 minutes away from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Let's see, I've talked about this business of the... Oh, and just a final note on the office move. So I'm in Dennis's old office, and his stuff is now downstairs. The only things I didn't move out of his office, he has this weird, like... It's a chair that, like, that guy from the Monopoly game, the old guy with the mustache from the Monopoly game would be. It's like a tufted, it's like a diamond tufted leatherette, like, red chair. It is like some weird, like he ought to be in front of a fireplace in a smoking jacket or something. And they're like, hello there, I didn't see you come in. It's one of those chairs. It should be in the smoking room of, like, a private men's club in Nantucket or something. That and then, God, do you ever, like, I mean... Chamber in somebody's office and you know, and you're moving things around, and then there's stuff you see, and then you just have to, like, you just have to make this agreement with yourself that you didn't see it. Like when I'm cleaning up.
You shouldn't be going through the man's possessions anyway.
They told me to clean out the office. They told me to move his stuff. How is it? No, there's a gigantic leather whip in there. and when I say gigantic leather whip, I'm not speaking in code. Big ass leather whip in his office. That and then this. That's actually not the disturbing part. The disturbing part isn't like, well, okay, I'll sit down and begin some productivity now that I'm in my new office. I just shut the door, and then on the wall, so you can't see it when the door is open, because the door opens inward, and the door, when it opens inward and is flush with the wall, it covers it. But when you close the door, like for privacy, you get some work done, just nothing but a huge collage of pictures of his wife and the baby. And then many, many, many pictures where his wife is pregnant with, like, not topless, but, like, with her shirt pulled way up, and then Dennis, like, crouching down, like, cupping the pregnant stomach, as though he's testing a watermelon for ripeness. So that's what, and I didn't want to move that because they're all put up sort of, they're very, very carefully hung with myriad thumbtacks. And I know that if I take one out and it's all going to fall apart and they're all going to fall into a pile on the floor. So that one, and I don't want to damage them. So now I got to spend like the next week working. And every time I look up, there's like a picture of Brandy's.
At least you have an office.
Engorged.
Poor guy's coming back and you have gone through all of his personal possessions, moved them to the basement, and now you're staring at pictures of his wife while he's gone.
I was only following orders. That'll be my defense. I was only following orders. I just concerned myself with matters of transport. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Well, if you think that's awkward, try this on for size. So, Friday on the Rick Emerson radio program, and Court and Fat Boy, by the way, have already got this segment of our program excerpted and put up on their website.
Oh, they do, because I wanted to listen to it. We should play it.
If you go to courtandfatboy.com, you can download this as like one of the kooky podcast things that kids do. It's like an MP3 file. But if you go to courtandfatboy.com, you can listen to the segment of Friday's show where they came in to discuss the fact that Art Alexakis was coming into the building. And I will recap very briefly what happened. So, Art Alexakis and Everclear were supposed to, well, we were scheduled to come in Friday to be on the Marconi show, which is on our sister station, KUFO, which is right across the hall. I mean, like about 10 feet from us. We look in, we can see them, they can see us. That was scheduled to happen. And we have a long, entangled, complex relationship with Art Alexakis. In many ways, for many reasons, because of many issues. Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? And he doesn't like us. That's fine. That's okay. I can go through with Art Alexakis doesn't have to like me. So that's fine. Anyway, so long story short, Everclear was going to be doing this in-studio set. You know, they come in and they sing whatever. They sing their unplugged hits or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And but the thing is, you got to, like, in advance, you got to tell the engineers what you need. We need three microphones. We need an ISDN line. We need a guitar tuner. We need whatever. It's like a technical writer. And the deal is, if you don't give CBS a technical writer, they won't have you do it because they don't want to send out a substandard performance. They don't want to have the radio station's name on a substandard broadcast. And so if you don't tell the engineers what you need, it doesn't happen. Well, Friday, like 2 o'clock comes, hadn't happened. And so finally, someone, I won't say who, but someone up the chain finally said, well, screw this. You know, like, we don't want to just be flying by the seat of our pants. Fair enough. Bam, we're going to cancel the appearance. We all said this on Friday. This is all preamble, because you heard this on Friday. So they canceled the Everclear appearance, except, oh no one told Everclear. No one told them. And so no one has told them that they've been canceled. So here we are on Friday, having announced that, oh, hey, the Everclear thing's not going to happen, whatever, da-da-da-da-da. We're busy talking, walking away, you know, just talking away, just doing our show. Walk by the studio, all of a sudden, Art Alexakis and Everclear walk by. We're doing our show, we're like, hey, look at that, it's Art Alexakis and Everclear. I guess they don't know they've been canceled, we say. And see, and the best part is, if you listen back to Friday's show, I'm whispering. I'm going, Art Alexakis and Everclear. They don't know they've been canceled. As though there isn't a transmitter tower and speakers out there that, you know, what do you call it? Amplify my voice. And so they walk by, and I wasn't saying it to rat anybody out. It just happened, as they say, organically. They walked by, and I just said, you know, spontaneously, oh, hey, there's Art Alexakis. Art Alexakis never canceled. Yeah.
That's during the part when I was, like, making fun of his hat.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And you're like, look, it's Sarah. Look, he's all pointy. And then somebody said, that's not his real hair. Anyway, and so, but they walk by, and I just say, hey, Art Alexakis and Everclear here. They don't know they've been canceled. Here's what I did not know. What I did not know when we said that is that they had taken Art Alexakis and his minions, and they had stashed them prior, you know, you've heard of a green room, you know, where you kind of hang out before you go on the air. We don't really have a green room here. What we have is a break room. We have a break room. We have a break room equipped with a radio and speakers. That radio has a tuning dial and an AM/FM switch. That radio was tuned to this show. So there's Art Alexakis.
Well, I got tired of going in there every day and finding it tuned to a different station than I was in there making my coffee.
Thanks, Tim.
So I am the one responsible for finding it and leaving it there. As a matter of fact, it's on there right now.
Thank you.
So Alexakis is having a coffee break in there right now. He's listening to us.
I appreciate that. Man. So, yeah, so on Friday, Art and Everclear are sitting in the kitchen, in the break room there, listening to this show. And all of a sudden, what do they hear me going?
As we're making fun of them.
As we're sitting here going, Art Alexakis doesn't know he's been canceled.
Backed by a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Look at his hair. They don't know they've been canceled. Fools. Oh, and then we found out afterward.
I was wondering why they were staring at us the entire time.
The show gets over, and I walk into the break room, and I hear the radio. I'm like, oh, hell no. You know, and I'm like, how long has it been on, you know, 970? They're like, all day.
I usually turn on during the 11 o'clock hour when I'm talking. It didn't used to be.
Making friends left and right. Oh, fantastic.
Well, it wasn't only us. So that was when Court and Fatboy were on, too.
Oh, God, Court and Fatboy were in here just piling on. Yeah.
Well, then they took them to this little room up here, and I had to go in there because I had my coat in there. So when I went
in the voice track booth,
I heard them say, we're very happy to have you here.
So we made it, great.
So here we go again. So we made it awkward for the Marconi show, who was having them on as a guest, by saying that they hadn't told them that they'd canceled on them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Tim just got to hear the damage control section of the program.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. The look on your face is priceless. That was the whole, I've made a huge mistake.
Well, the show is on in the break room now, beginning during the 10:30 hour. For the duration.
Oh, thanks for the warning. Wish we'd known.
I wonder how they spun that.
I don't know. Maybe we should listen back. But that's an intercom station you're listening to.
We have to listen to it.
Does the Marconi Show podcast?
I don't know.
We could listen back and find out exactly how he dealt with that. Or would you prefer not knowing?
Perhaps I'd rather not know.
All right. Hello.
I really do think we should listen in case anyone didn't hear it on Friday so they can hear how
it's
bad
it's so
it was.
Awkward. It's so awkward. I don't want to listen back to it. It's so terrible. We, especially, you know, the none is real hair. It was just bad. It was just bad. And we had no idea he was listening. And then he's in the break room 3 feet away from the speaker as we're saying it.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's a rock star and I'm not. It's 503. So, I mean, really, seriously. If you get bent out of shape over this program when you're that guy, your priorities are all out of whack. We should break. It's 503-733-2970. For the love of God. Coming up around the corner, the real reason you are here today, the new news hour with Jim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Peter Carlin, Jim Roop, Scotty J, top five songs to get down and make sweet love to. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show. Here is Pulp!